Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Your joy in life, your ability to expand and to go further than you ever thought you could, would you want to know about it?
Yes.
What if I told you that you could have happiness 24/7? That's like, doesn't seem like reality, right? Like, wait, we're not in heaven. That's not reality. But I don't know about that, because the Bible says that count it all joy through trials and tribulations, right? I've always been dumbfounded by that verse, because when I'm going through hell, I don't feel like being happy. But the Lord walked me through some things the past 2 years that I've had to learn that in the hell, you actually can be at rest and be happy. But there's a tool that I had to put into play. And so today, the tool is, you ready for this? Prayer. Now some of you are going, oh great, another message on prayer. I'm not a good prayer. Listen, Pastor Jess was not a good prayer. Did you know that about me? Like, I would go to the throne room and I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, you know, I would pray for everybody else, but I always felt weird asking God for things for me. Because I was good. After all, I'm good. You know, I'm not as bad off as the people I talk to. Like, I don't need anything. I'm good, Lord. I don't want to bother you. And I felt like the Lord was like, there's people in the room today that are going to say, I'm uncomfortable praying. I'm not the girl that goes and intercedes for hours. Did you know that's a gift? Neither am I. Okay? So that's okay if that's not your gift. If it's your gift, hallelujah, run with it, man. We need you in the house of God. But when you are in prayer, sometimes I think we can overthink some things. And I feel like the Lord had to walk me through how to do this past 2 years. Many times when we're going through a hard time, what happens? We're going through a hard time and what do? Oh yeah, God, let me talk to you, right? And then we go through a good time and we kind of like, we're good. I don't really have much to say to you, God. Life's good right now. And you know, that does make me sad, because I think about my parents. Do I only want to be around them when I have issues? And then when I'm good, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about you. Sorry, we're good. You know, like, that would hurt someone's heart, right? I think it hurts God's heart, because his desire is to be with us on a daily basis in every moment. His desire is to just hear, even if it's something little, he just wants to know the surrender of our heart towards him. And that's what prayer is, the surrender of our hearts to the one who created heaven and earth, to the one that formed us and loved us. And he just wants to be included into what is happening in our lives. And so we're going to talk today about the prophet of prayer. Now, not the prophet, like, you know, Pastor Michelle put it out on Instagram, prophet, like prophets of prayer. I'm like, that's a good another message. Like, but this is the prophet of prayer. What benefits us in prayer? What's in it for me? You go, oh, that's dangerous. Don't ask those things to God, right? No, he wants us to know the incentive. Yesterday, I took my son to a baseball practice, and they were fielding the balls. And the coach was getting really irritated with all the kids, because they were honestly missing every ball. And then the kids start screaming at the coach, when do we get to bat? And the coach says, when you start fielding the balls right. And I was like, dang, you go, boy. You know, and I am not kidding you. Every single ball he hit out after that play, they were on it. Not one kid missed a ball. Every kid caught a pop fly. Every kid got their grounders right and threw it to first. Every single kid was on their game. Why? Because it benefited them. God knows we're all that way. So let's talk about the benefits of our prayer life. Let's talk about what it does for us, because see, he doesn't want us to just come to him and not know what the benefits are. It has a lot of beauty in it. In Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be anxious for nothing. Some of you, that's a word for you right now. You're thinking about, what's gonna happen when I walk out of here today? I'm walking into a crazy fight with so-and-so. I've got to go call somebody and deal with something. I've got to go deal with my brokenness. No, no, no. Be anxious for nothing. You are in a room right now of peace. You are in a room right now to be here, to settle in, to press in. I want you girls to lean in and get what God has for you today, because this word will be life-changing. It will be your success, or listen to me, if you don't do it, it'll be your defeat. It's on you. Just like those little baseball players, they could be fielding that ball for the rest of the practice for 2 hours. You can field the ball. Or you can put your stuff together, do what you need to do, and you can go enjoy the fun part of the game. Everything takes hard work. And God is saying sometimes prayer is hard work. Sometimes you gotta put the effort in, but this will be what you reap from it. And it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
Oh, not your own will? Not by the phone call to the friend? But in everything, like, I'm stressed out right now. I'm gonna go to the fridge and open it up. I'm gonna eat what I want. Stressed out right now. I'm gonna turn on a TV show so I don't have to think about what's going on. I'm gonna veg. I'm gonna just not think about what's happening. You see, that's not what God is saying. It's gonna be uncomfortable to tell your flesh, you need to go pray right now. Believe me, I don't wanna do that either, girls. I don't wanna go and set aside time and sit and be like, God, this stinks. This is what's happening. Where do I go with this? What do you want me to do with this? I don't want to have download constantly, because when I get download, you know what that means for us. We have to carry it out, right? Because we're his hands and we're his feet. We are his ambassadors here on this earth. And so when we choose to opt out of the game, who is going to then take over? Who? Can you fix that? Who is going to? Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. What? He wants to hear from us, guys. He loves you. There's nothing too big, too annoying, too overwhelming, too extravagant for him. Did you know that? Remember, there's no issues in heaven. He's looking down going, I've got this. It's gonna be okay. It's not as bad as it looks. It's not as intense as it feels. You see, because he's got us. And I love that about him. And then it says, in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, oh, I need the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So you're not gonna know or see or understand where this is coming from. But he'll give you peace anyways. Will guard your heart and your mind through Christ. You see, you're living in an earthly realm, but you're living a supernatural life. And so when we begin to deal with world issues, things that happen to us, the reality of life, right? When we answer those and address those issues in our life on a worldly basis, we're going to fail. You're gonna have disappointment. You're gonna have defeat. You're gonna wonder what happened. You're gonna wonder why things aren't lining up. Why does this have to be so hard? Why? But when we take our life and the things that are coming at us on the right, the left, the front, the back, the up and down, right? And we say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna go to my prayer closet. I'm gonna bring it to you, and then I'm gonna get the God idea on it, and I'm gonna have a peace that passes all understanding on this situation. And you're gonna be able to walk through your hardest times in life and have peace and joy, because that's the way God created it to be. What does prayer do for us in life? What does it do? What's the benefit? Write this sentence down if you can. Prayer helps us to release frustrations. It brings us clarity, and it helps us to untangle our hearts, and it gives us a new perspective. You see, that was where I had to live, because there were so many things coming at me. There were so many people talking at me. There were so many things that I didn't understand, and new capacities and things that God was throwing literally in my lap, and I'm going, what do you want me to do with this? You know, like, what is going on? Have you ever been in those moments? I know it's not just me that lives in those moments. When you get a phone call and your whole life changes. We just had our secretary in between services on Sunday morning got a phone call that her son was found in Santa Mateo Canyon dead because he got in a car accident. She wasn't expecting that phone call. She said, this has to be a joke. This is a prank. Somebody's pranking me. Somebody's pranking me. What do you do in that moment? What do you do? Those are the moments that God is preparing and setting us up for. He knows suffering is on this earth, but he will never abandon you in your hardest time if you bring him in on it. He will never leave you in your weakest moments. He was there and he was ready to walk you through it and carry you out of it. He is not the one that caused it. He is the one that is gonna help you get through it, because the God of this world, the devil, is after you, and he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when he wants to take you out, and when he wants to throw a wrench in your game, God says, here's some tools. You're stronger than this. You got this. You've got this. Her son loved the Lord. Her son served God, and her son knew Jesus. And her response was, I'm going to see him again. He lived his call. He lived his purpose. He lived out the days he needed to live here on earth, and now he would never come back if he could. Listen, loss could hurt you, kill you, and paralyze you. Or it can make you stronger, you can work through it, and you can help others while you're left here on this earth. You see, it's what do you do with what has been handed to you? And you will only know that in your time of prayer. You will only know that in your time of prayer. So let's go through it. Prayer, a benefit of prayer, number one, it releases frustration. How many of you like to get frustrated? Nobody raised their hand. That was a trick question. You should not raise your hand. But how many of us get frustrated on a daily basis, right? Like, I could be in the best mood, and then the kids do something crazy, and I'm like, you know, psycho mom. What are you doing? You know, like, 5 seconds before that. You guys are so wonderful. I love you so much. What were you thinking? That was so dumb. You know, like, we can go from one to the extreme. I know men literally stand back and just watch us. Like, how did they do that? Like, really, like, whoo, 0 to 60 in, like, you know, 2.5 seconds. And I just want to say, girls, God gives us a tool to handle this. Maybe you're an even-keel girl and you don't go there, but listen, I know that even the introverts go there in their mind. You are at war inside of yourself, fighting all day long. And you have to be careful to guard that, because it could turn into something it really isn't. So you've got to guard it. And that's a frustration inside of you that you've got to learn how to bring to the throne room of God and talk it out with him. I have a story for you. I was thinking and praying on this, and I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I get frustrated a lot, and you're my source of strength. And he said, yeah, but let me remind you of something that happened a long time ago. And he reminded me of this story. My daughter was 3 years old, and she was having teeth issues. I got referred to a dentist, and so we went to the dentist. The dentist did an examination on her and said that she needed a root canal. Now, this is a baby tooth, and I'm thinking, really? You just want my money. And like, let that sucker fall out and we'll move on. But I did not know, because I was a first-time mom. She's my first baby, so of course, yes, doctor. Okay, my third child, I'd be like, suck it up, dude. You're gonna be fine. Like, that next tooth is coming in. Okay, so just for all the first-time mommies out there, you will get there. And so I bring my daughter to this appointment, and as I'm there, they're prepping her, and they're gonna give her, you know, the laughing gas, and they have the TV up on the roof, and they have everything that you think that they would need to stay calm and to do it. I've talked her through this as best as I could. You know, at the age of 3, I don't really know how much she's picking up. And I'm going through this, I'm really not telling her the details, you know, like the big long needle and the drill and all this stuff, right? So she gets in there and they start the process. And as soon as they start the process, she starts wiggling. And I'm like holding her leg, I'm in there with her, and I'm like, it's okay, honey, it's okay. And then that was it. She like turned into psycho child, like, you know, like freaking out, screaming at the doctor, no, no, no. I start crying, because I'm like, what are you doing to my baby, you know, like. And so the nurse escorts me out of the room and says, it's better if parents aren't in here. And I was already mad. I was frustrated. Chloe was frustrated. There were some intense female hormones going off in that, like, you know, dentist office. And I remember there were people in the waiting room, and the office was like here, and the waiting room was here, and there was a hallway. And I just started pacing that hallway. I was like, like, I was praying in tongues so loud. People probably thought, who is this crazy lady? But I did not know what to do. And the only thing I knew to do, and I didn't even have the words to say, so I prayed in tongues. And I felt the Holy Spirit go, you go in there right now. And I was like, okay. And so I walked in there to find the nurse sitting on top of my daughter. Yeah, not kidding. And the doctor in her mean toned voice going, you are being a bad little girl. You need to stop this. And I was like, oh, no. The ghetto in Jess came out. I was like, oh, hell no. And I had to take control back of that situation. And I got in there and I told that nurse, get off my daughter right now. And I said, and stop talking to my daughter that way. And she goes, well, you know, your daughter is out of control. And you don't, she literally told me this. And you need to punish her for this. And I said, you need to stop talking. Because I'm composing myself right now. But there's going to be a fist coming through your face in about 5 seconds. And I was like standing there and I'm thinking, Dan ain't here right now. And like old nature's coming back. And like, what do? I just prayed in tongues. Maybe God filled me up for this moment. Like, and I stayed, something came over me and the peace of God came on me. And I was like, please stop talking to her. And she goes, you need to finish it. We have to finish this procedure. We've already drilled. You can't leave it exposed. I said, then give me a second with my daughter. And I said, get out. And she, no, we can't leave. We can't leave her exposed. I said, you can. You can. You can leave right now or you can deal with me. And she was like, okay, fine. So they left. And Chloe's crying at this point. So scared, three-year-old. Can you imagine? She has no idea what's going on. And I know, put her out, right? And so like, I lean down and I whisper in her ear and I go, Chloe, it's mommy. And I'm here and I'm not gonna leave you, so don't be afraid. And all of a sudden the tears just started streaming down her face. And I began to pray like I had never prayed over her before. And I said, Lord, I ask for a supernatural peace to be upon her to finish this procedure. And I ask right now that you would just do a good job on this so it won't hurt her later on. And Lord, I pray right now, and I did. I said, I forgive the people that just hurt my daughter. I forgive them. Like I released that right then and there. I wasn't gonna move forward if I couldn't. Chloe, something happened in that room that moment. And the peace of God fell upon us. And he comforted us. And he released our frustration, both of us. And the doctor came in, did what she needed to do. I paid her and she overcharged me. And I just said, whatever, dude. Like, here, take it. I don't even care. And I never went back. But that day, I learned my lesson that in the hardest, frustrating moments of life, just as I was that voice of rest and peace and comfort to Chloe, Jesus is that voice, that whisper of rest and peace and comfort to you and to me. And he's such a good God that he is there in the frustration, but he's there to help you release the frustration if you will bring it to him. And if you will give him your personality, hand it over, he can handle it. He gave it to you. He knows what to do with you. He is your source to diffuse the frustrations. 1 Peter 5:7 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares about you. When you are frustrated and you find yourself in a moment of really just, you're irritated. The other day, I'll give you an example. Pastor Jess gets irritated, right? I woke up in the morning, I just was crabby. There was a lot of things coming at me and I was thinking about my whole day and a bit overwhelmed, honestly. And I'm making lunches and I'm trying, kids aren't doing what they need to do to get them out of the house in order for me to get on with the things I need to do that day. And I'm just crabby. And Dan and the kids, I could kind of tell, I could feel them. You know, you can feel them when you're not right. And he didn't say nothing. And I looked at him and I go, I haven't read my Bible and I haven't prayed. I'm leaving. And he goes, okay, bye. So it must have been bad. But I'll tell you, I went and I sat where I go with God and I prayed and I came back a new woman, because frustration can steal our day, girls. It can steal our time. It can steal our joy. It can steal the things that God so has already given us as a gift, and we don't see it as a gift any longer. We're just mad about it, and so we're seeing it all wrong, and then we don't use it the way God intended for it to be used in our lives. You see, God wants us to go to Him in our frustration because He wants to bring us peace. So humble ourselves before Him, and let's go and talk to Him. Prayer is an attitude and a position of humility. And then once we position ourselves as humble servants of the Lord, like, this is how I go to God. I'll give you an example. God, I'm really irritated right now. I'm really mad. This person this and that person. I go and I complain to God. Don't think I'm so holy. I'm not. And I go and I talk to Him about my realities. And then He breaks it down for me. Okay, this one, this is what you need to do. This one, and he doesn't give me sentences, girls. It's like one word and I'm like, oh yeah. How's that? That's amazing. How did you do that? Or He'll lead me to a scripture. Turn here, Jess. It'll be like the very exact situation I'm dealing with. You see, He knows how to speak to you. He knows how to get your attention. Some of you go, I don't hear the voice of God. Are you sitting still enough to listen? Because it wasn't until these 2 years when I had to press in and know Him on a different level that I began to hear Him. And then I begin to recognize Him. And then I now completely understand when it's Him talking. It took time. It was a process of understanding the one who created me was trying to get a hold of me, but I would always confuse it with something else. But the reality is He's always talking to us. And He's saying, cast your care on me, for I care. Why are you picking up a worry and a concern that isn't even yours to carry? Because we do that, girls, right? You're mad about the friend that talked about the friend, and that's not even your issue. Stay out of it, right? So you picked that one up, and now you're carrying it, and now you're irritated about it, and now it's becoming bigger than it should be, and now other people are hearing about it, and what does that turn into? Oh, tasty morsels gossip. And you wonder, why am I so frustrated? Well, you just entered into sin. Not even wanting to, but you did. Listen, I'm not saying this to you like I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. I just have a perfect God who has helped me to understand things in a different way. And when we go and we release these things to Him in a humble attitude, like, I know before I start saying something, I'm thinking wrong. Do you ever know that? Like, I know I'm thinking totally ungodly right now, and I need to figure out what's the right way of dealing with this because I'm irritated. That's when God says, stop talking to everyone else and come talk to me. Cast it on me. And girls, that might mean you have to cast that thing. You know, when you're fly fishing, you may not know this, but you just keep casting it out. You just keep casting. I always thought it was the weirdest thing, right? Because I was used to regular fishing. You just leave it in the water and then they eat it. That is not how it works with fly fishing. You just keep casting. And my dad taught me one time, he said, you're carrying things you shouldn't be carrying. You cast. And I go, Dad, I did cast. We cast again, and you cast again, and you cast again. And when it wants to come back, you cast it back out again. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not mine. I'm not taking it. I'm not receiving that. It's not mine to carry. I'm putting it back in your hands, God. You take care of it. They're your kid. They're your husband. They're your issue. They're your friend. They're your this, whatever. But you keep casting that care. It's not yours to carry, girls. But we get frustrated, and we hold on. And God says, stop doing that. Because the benefit of prayer is that you can release your frustration with me. Number two, a benefit to prayer is that it can bring us clarity. Sometimes you feel like you're walking in a fog and you don't know which direction to go. You feel like you're not hearing from God. Have you ever done that? I mean, I have gone into my prayer closet and I'm like, seriously, I'm hearing nothing. Something happened to me just recently. And, you know, I'm now the one who prays for everything in this church. Like, I am up all the time praying for every detail of everything. And so I was up just recently praying for a detail of something, and I wasn't getting much. So I went to Dan, and I'm like, I'm kind of frustrated. Like, are you getting anything about this subject? Because, like, I'm really not picking up anything, and usually I get, you know, this is the plan, and this is what we should do. And he's like, well, you're not going to get it. And he kind of looked at me like, I should know this, you know, like, okay. And I'm like, what am I missing here? And he goes, I didn't assign you to get it. I assigned our administrator to get it. And I was like, oh. And honestly, a weight fell off of me. Like, oh, hallelujah, it's not mine to carry then. Like, and I started praying for her to get it. I had a meeting yesterday, and guess what? She pulled out 2 pages of notes of things that God had told her that were the plan and where we're going and what we're doing. And I'm like, I was blown away. I was like, hallelujah. Sometimes it's not always yours to get. And there's clarity because you need to pray for the person who needs to get it, not you. We aren't the answer to everything for God. We are a part of his answer. But do you see all the other women around here? He has God assignments for all of us. And each of us has to be in our spot, walk in our lane, and do our part. And that's through prayer. And we have to remain and put ourselves in a position to see clearly. I've been reading through the book of Job. I'm reading through the Bible, and I read very slowly through the Bible. If you know Pastor Dan talks about how he reads through the Bible, he whizzes through that sucker. I'm like, I would miss everything if I did. Because I'm not the greatest reader. I am not the smartest person. I am not the brightest, you know, star in the sky. And so when I read, I like really have to sit down and I want to kind of let it sink into my heart and go, is there a lesson in this, Lord? Is there? So I read chapters at a time and I ponder on them. So I've been going through Job and I'm just like, dude, this poor guy. You know, I mean, talk about depression. Job knows what depression is like. If you don't know the story of Job, everything was taken from him. Jesus said, or God said to Satan, Satan asked, let me sift him. He says, I will, because he won't curse me. He won't turn from me. You can't touch him and he won't deny me. And so Job goes through hell and doesn't understand why, right? Like, why? Why would you take my kids? Why would I? And God gets blamed, you know, for everything, but Job didn't go there. He didn't blame God. Job blamed himself. He blamed maybe something that he didn't do right. He went over everything, but he didn't blame God. He told God, I don't understand you, but I don't blame you. Now, all of Job's friends, maybe some of you have friends like this, told him what he did wrong, why he did it wrong, why God was cursing him, how God works, why God does the things he does. How many stinking naysayers do you have in your world when you are walking through a tribulation that you need to shut them down? And finally, Job gets through all of this. And he's at the point where he's questioning God, if you would turn to me to Job 38. Not questioning God, but questioning himself. And his stance and where he stands with the Lord, because he's like, I don't even understand this. The poor are better off than me. The greedy and the robber are better off than me. Like, I'm the one that loved you. Can you explain? I must have really screwed up. Maybe what they're saying is right. And you, how many questions would we have for God in those times? And as Job begins to ask God things, like, why? Ooh, why? That's probably the number one question God gets in prayer. Why? Why me, God? Why did it have to happen this way? What if I would have changed this, God? What if, and why? You will never get the answer to why. You won't. You might as well be okay that he's a just God. He is such a just God that if God were to send me to hell, he would still be a just God. Even after everything I've done for him, because he's omniscient, he's ever present, he's my creator, and I trust and I love him and I believe in him. And that's where Job was. He was under such submission to the will and the way of God that he was like, I don't get it. And the Lord says, after Job starts asking all of these things, I love what he says in chapter 30, it says, and the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is in the darkness counseled by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. Okay, so now it's like kind of offensive, right? Like, you've just taken everything from me and now you're telling me to man up. I don't think God plays games. And he said, prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. So they've been in this dialogue, God and Job. Lots of dialogue has been going on, lots of prayer time. Why? And this, and what was wrong with me? And where did I go? What about these people? And what about that person? I don't understand. And can you bring clarity? And God says, now I'm going to ask you some questions. And he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, Job. Surely. Or who stretched the line upon it? And what were the foundations that fastened, or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea of the doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and I set bars and doors? And when I said, thus far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. This is the God of heaven who Job is talking to. Guys, the same God we talk to, who breathed and created man, who breathed and formed the earth. You see, we're going to another level when we get into our prayer closet. And the clarity that we as earthly beings, the word says that we see but through a veil. And one day that veil will be pulled back and we will have understanding. But the things we don't understand, God is saying, you better trust me on. Because it's bigger than you, you won't understand it. It's like when Moses said, I want to see you, God. He said, you can't see me. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, because his physical form could not handle the presence of God. You see, this is a bigger God than we understand that we're coming to. We don't see him and we don't know. We know of him, but do we know him? So after Job and God have this dialogue, you can read it all the way into verse 42. This is Job's response to God, which I thought was brilliant. Job 42, 1 through 6, it says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. That's a true statement, isn't it? Verse 3, you asked, who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. Whew. Verse 4, then Job said, you said to me, listen, I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Verse 5, I have only heard about you before that. I love this. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes, and I show my repentance. You see, God sees the bigger picture. God knows the path that needs to be walked. You said, I will take on this God assignment as your daughter. Yes, I accept you. Yes, I'm going to serve you. Yes, I'm going after you. And God says, then if you don't have the full picture, you hold my hand through that dark cloud. You hold my hand through the fog, because I'm going to lead you as I whisper where to go, as I whisper what to say, as I show you what to do and what not to do. Right. You see, we don't have clarity. Something as simple as this, I'll give you an example of this. I'm trying to figure out what day it is. It's Thursday. So my kid was going on a field trip on Monday. When I woke up on Monday morning, there was a lot of news about buses that had accidents and children had died in them from field trips. And I was like, oh my gosh, like my son is going on a trip today. And I could feel that spirit of fear wanting to rise up. And I felt like the Lord said, pray over him. I grabbed all my kids. I prayed over him. I prayed over the school. I prayed over everything. And Dan was dropping them off that morning. And I said, when you go, you lay hands on that bus before it goes out. Like, I'm like crazy, right? And I'm like, grab some anointing oil if you need it. But you anoint that bus. And he's like, all right. You know, I made my Baptist husband totally Pentecostal. So he said, all right, I'm going for it. So he said he passed the bus. He laid hands on it. He was like, that bus did not leave our school that day. And I saw my sister-in-law walk in with my nephew, who I knew was going on the trip too. And I said, what happened? She goes, I don't know. It's like the weirdest thing. Like, the bus literally wouldn't start and we couldn't go on our trip. And so I'm like, oh, I'm sure Micah's real mad. And she's like, yeah, he begged me to take him home, but I told him no. And she said, they're going to redo the trip on Monday. I said, well, I'm praying now for Monday's trip, you know, and something happened. Yeah. I had a prompting from the Holy Spirit. I couldn't see clearly. I didn't know what I was dealing with, but I brought it to prayer. And I believe that the Lord avoided something that day. I believe that there was a safety that went upon our children that day. And you see, guys, we have to see clearly what God is asking of us. I love how Job said, I had only heard about you before. But when I went through all this hell, God, and I had to talk to you in a new way. And I had to try and understand your ways and not mine, because I'm so mind-driven on myself, right? Is this not true? But then when hell hits the fan, all of a sudden we're like, what do you need, God? What's going on, God? See, trial and tribulation bring us closer to the throne room. Yes. And then God can drop some clarity on us. So don't count your loss yet, because in your brokenness, in the trial, in the fight, in the long haul, God's in it. And he's gonna bring you some clarity in it, because you're gonna hear him differently. I love what Job said. I had known about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. Ooh, that's big. I feel like I lived that for 2 years. My prayer time got completely different. I was scared to make any moves, and I still am. I'm like in fear and trembling of making any moves and decisions for this staff, for our church, for yourselves, for everybody in here. I do carry the weight of taking care of the flock and the sheep, and I don't take that lightly. And so I don't do anything without taking it to the throne room. And I want to say to you, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I should be the only one doing that. You have to do this, girls. Because we don't want to just know him, but we want to see him. We want to see him. And that can happen in prayer. Third point, it untangles our heart. Prayer can untangle our heart. You can get really disjointed in your heart. One moment you can love someone, right? Like I had a boyfriend and I had those unhealthy relationships in high school where it was like, oh yes, we love each other, we love each other. Then he like cheats on me and I'm like, I hate you. And then he comes back and he's like, I'm so sorry. Okay, baby. All right. I was the stupid girl, right? Like I was the dumb one. What's going on there with the heart? Like totally like floppy, stupid girl. Like I look back and go, oh my gosh. But that's how weak our hearts are. You know, you can hate someone one moment, they say something to you, you're like, oh, we're best friends again. You know, I was like, really? You know, we cannot go off what our heart is saying. You go, really? I that's kind of how I've been living life. Well, maybe you need to change it a little bit, girlfriend. Because a heart can lead us down paths that God is not telling us to go. We have to connect our heart to what God is saying. We have to connect our heart to what God wants us to go. And so we can get very tangled up in life situations. We can get very confused, and it can break us down, and it can steal our time. It can steal our joy. You can love your family and hate them in one moment. You can have relationships be steered in completely wrong directions because you went off how you feel and what your emotions say, and everybody around you is going, yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you feel that way, girl, you better do that. A real good friend would be like, have you gone to prayer on this? You shouldn't just be like jumping into this. You should be going and praying and making sure you're seeking the face of God on this. Because your heart can get all tangled up, especially us women, because we could do 50 things at one time and we get all like frazzled, right? But if we go to the throne room, God can start to unravel us and start to bring us level again and bring us back to a place of rest in where we're going and put a comfort inside of our hearts that we know, oh, this lines up with the word. I've got word on this. I've got word on where we're going. And I love that about the Lord, that he cares for us so much. This verse might be a little different. I kept reading this verse and going, Lord, why do you want me to use this verse? I kept trying to move other verses into here. He keep bringing me back to this verse. And so I'm going to read it to you, and let's see where he goes with it. It says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind. It doesn't say an alert heart. But yet, we can bring our heart to the throne room, but God wants us to use our mind to control our heart. He wants us to say, okay, come on, knock it off. You know better. God's got this. Your heart can say, oh, I'm devastated, I'm broken, there's no hope. And God's in your mind can go, no, there's hope. Would you knock it off? You see what I'm saying? It can help guide you back to where you need to be when you are in prayer. When you are submitted and humble and in a place of submission to what God says, your heart can become untangled and your mind can think clearly and be thankful of heart. You see, your heart is a beautiful thing. It's the nurturing side of us, girls. And sometimes I wonder, okay, God, why did you give us such big hearts? Because you know why? The men aren't going to do it. We have to be that. We're the mamas. It's okay. I got dressed 50 times this morning. Okay, side note. I got dressed like 50 times this morning. First outfit, my daughter's like, it was a little old school. Like, you need to get some new clothes. And I'm like, really? Okay. And then this one, I'm like, oh, my bra straps are hanging out. You know, like, I can only do this in women's ministry meetings. But, like, you know, so annoying getting dressed. And as I'm getting dressed, you know, I have to cover everything up and make sure nothing's showing and be modest. And I told Dan, you know, this stinks. You have it made. Like, you put on a pair of pants and a shirt, and who cares? You're like, move on, you know? And I got all irritated about being a woman. I was like, it sucks sometimes being a girl. And Dan's like, really? And I'm like, well, not really, but right now it feels that way. But you know, I can go off my emotions and I can let that moment ruin the rest of my day. And then I can go complain the rest of my day about how I did the hard work having the babies. And I pull out my list of awesome things that I think I did, right? Or I could be like, shut up and knock it off. Like, this is who God made me. You might see my bra strap, but hopefully we're all wearing one. And the reality is, pull the girls up and move on, all right? Just saying. Okay. That was a side note. That was for free. Okay. Verse 3, if we cannot talk about these things with men. Verse 3, pray for us. Too, that the God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan. Ooh, clarity. And mysterious plan, clarity, mysterious plan, clarity, mysterious plan. That doesn't make sense. I'm looking for clarity, and God's giving me his mysterious plan. There's an oxymoron happening here. I'm not quite sure, Lord, what you're doing. Well, guess what? That's how he operates. So if you can be okay with being flexible, and if you can be okay with getting ready to go, live life on go, girls, because when he drops that mysterious plan into your lap, into your heart, into your voice, when he whispers that something in your ear and he says, now go do it, you need to get on it, you need to get going, you need to get ready, because that clarity is going to be brought to you and you're going to see things in a different way. Because you're seen by the Spirit of God, you're not seen by your own self. And I just love the fact that the Lord wants to lead us there, and he gives us those plans, and he shows us that we can overcome our emotions and our feelings in prayer. I love that. Last one. I think this is the biggest and best one. That's why I ended with it. In prayer, it benefits us because we get the God perspective to things. Many times, I can look at life through my context of living, right? I can look at life as a pastor. I can look at life as a mom. I can look at life how I went through things in my past, but I cannot, and it would be wrong of me to put that on Lori Gamp. I can't do that to Lori, because Lori has lived her own life. And that's in Lori's context. And that's how Lori has been shaped. And that's who Lori is. Pastor Sue, can I borrow your glasses? Yes. Joanna, can I borrow your glasses? Oh, I broke them. No. Let me see. Jess. So I can't see now, Mom. Okay. So when I put on Sue's glasses, ooh, Shondala. I'm going to see weirdly, right? Because I don't know what I look like right now. Because I'm not going to see the way God needs me to see. Because I'm seeing through that perspective. So here, I'm going to give this back to you because this is your race to run. Whose are these? Sue? Whose are these? Sue? Jess's. All right, Jess, let's see. Can I walk your race? Oh, I can walk it a bit. You know, I could make it. I could probably walk and not fall, but I'm not going to actually get there the right way. I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to run into things because I can't see clearly because I'm not getting the perspective that God's asked me to do. Let's see. These are Pastor Joanna's. Pastor Joanna, I really cannot see. I'm like going to throw up. Like, sometimes we wonder why we're unhappy in life and why we feel like nothing is coming together and everything is so horrible and so bad and oh my gosh, you just gotta hold on because you're just gonna make it through another day. God says, would you stop taking on a perspective I never asked you to carry? Would you stop seeing things through the glasses I never asked you to see through? And I put on Pastor Sue's and I'm the most spiritual person I've ever met in my life. I pray like 4 hours in the morning and I got a scripture for everything. But I'm still feeling a bit woozy because that's just not me. You see, I gotta be me. That's her spot. But God says, what are you seeing through? Because Jess, I'm giving you a perspective. These are my glasses. And I can see clearly now. And I know what path to take now. And I know what path and road that God is asking me to walk down when it's not comfortable, girls. We want blessings, but weights come with them. We want the good times, but we don't want the hard work to get into the good times. And then when we get in the good times, guess what? You have to work in them. Good things don't just happen all the time and you do nothing. That's not reality. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of submission. It takes a lot of blessing. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of, get this, prayer.
Yes, it does.
To get the God perspective. There's been many times for months I gone to God and I said, God, here's this issue again. Here's this, and I'm laying it out before him and I'm not getting the full picture. I'm not getting the full picture, and I've learned, don't move until I get it. When I get it, I run. It's like Elijah, when there was a cloud and there had been no rain for so long, and he saw the cloud. Oh, let's go right now, let's go. We saw a little cloud. Run when you get it, girls, because that's a God perspective you need to take a hold of. But not just that. There's been times that I've had to step out in faith because this is what I heard. You do it and I'll back you. Whatever you decide, I'm gonna back you. I heard that on something just recently, about a year and a half ago. Ooh, I had everyone coming against me too. So it was like that moment of like wearing someone else's glasses and you feel like you're gonna fall down, you know? Like, I really feel like this is what God is saying and everybody else is saying, this is not practical, this is not logical, this is not what we should do, this is not, and I still get it, I still get it. So something didn't go right with one of the things of the decision I had to make. And I walked up my stairs this week and I'm constantly in prayer, I'm walking up my stairs praying, God, did I miss you? Did I miss it? God, forgive me if I made the wrong choice. And he said, I'm sorry. Are you running from a fight? And he goes, I never said it would be easy. And I said I'd back you in it. So stand your ground, stay in your place, and keep going. And I was like, yes, sir, all right. But see, you're not always gonna get the full perspective. You might just get a little word. He might just say, do that, step out in faith, because he just wants you to step out in faith. He just wants to see if you'll do it or if you're gonna be a coward. He wants to know if you're gonna jump off that cliff and wonder if he's gonna pick you up, and you're willing to jump off of it because you trust him and you love him so much. You're willing to look like a fool to get the God perspective in your life. You're willing to look unpopular to the crowd you walk with. Because I'll tell you something, the God perspective is not gonna be popular. The God perspective will not be comfortable. God's perspective will not be accepted by the common man in our world. The God perspective is gonna be uncomfortable. It's gonna be hard work. The God perspective is going to be life-changing, destiny-moving, breakthrough. The God perspective is going to be supernatural and miracle-working. And you're gonna look behind you and go, how did I get here? How did I make it here? How did I walk that road? Because you got a hold of the God perspective in a prayer time and you got a word from the Lord and you didn't let go. Girls, you can't do this alone. You can't do this in your own will, in your own way, how you think it should be. Because if you do, you're gonna fail. God was so wonderful to us when he gave us Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And he says, pray like this. He gives us an example. Isn't he simple? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to stop us right there. That prayer is not, God, my will, and you line up with it. That prayer is not, God, this is what I would like for my family. It's your kingdom come. Lord, what does my family need to do to line up with what makes your kingdom advance? God, what do my kids need to become to make your name famous? What's my God assignment as a mother and as a wife? You see, it's bigger than us, girls. It's grander than us. You may feel like you mean nothing, like you're sitting at home and nobody notices you. But God says, I see you and I have an assignment and your plan is bigger than you. It is your generations after you that will carry out the name of Jesus. It's you taking a stand against those things that you have to overcome for your daughter's sake and for your son's sake. You have to get a hold of these things, girlfriend, so that you can overcome them and they won't plague or traumatize your children. You see, God is saying, it's my will, my way, my kingdom. You get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. To our flesh, that seems odd. To the world, a selfish world that we live in, they will not understand this. But this is what God is saying. I am the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God. I created you and I formed you. This is what your part needs to be in this prayer. Give us today the food that we need because he provides. And forgive us our sins because he's the only one that can. And forgive those who sin against us because he can't forgive us if we don't forgive others. Verse 13, and don't let us yield to temptation, fall into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You see, he's the answer to all of the end of that prayer. And he's the answer to the beginning of that prayer. That prayer is all about him. And our jobs and our lives are not our own, girls. They're all about him. So why do we try and live them for us? We're wasting time. We're wasting pain. We're wasting sorrow. Those things should not last long. Because joy comes in the morning. He is the source of everything. He is the reason we breathe. He's the reason we wake up. He is the reason that you are a mama of that kid. You don't understand how to parent. But let me tell you, he's got their number. He knows their language. So why don't you press in and tap in and figure out, okay, God, I don't know how to communicate with my son right now or my daughter. But God, you do. You know how to get a hold of them on their level. So Lord, teach me. Download right now. And I'm going to petition the throne room of God because you are God. And you know how to get a hold of my kid. And when they're serving the devil, Lord, I pray that they're uncomfortable in their circumstance. I pray that they don't want to be around the sinful nature. Those desires that want to overtake them and lie about who their identity is. Oh, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that that foul spirit would not take their mind and take their body. Girls, you have to begin to be a warrior. You have to press in for God's perspective on these matters. Because I'm going to go back to where we started. You want success. You want to be great. You want to have joy all day long. I went through one of my hardest days yesterday. One of my hardest days ever in ministry. And I'll tell you, by the end of the day, I said to my mom, this is what happened. She goes, I just want to say to you and Dan, you've been through one of the hardest things you'll ever go through in ministry today. And I said, Mom, I'm not devastated. Like, I'm okay. I'm gonna sleep tonight, and I didn't lose sleep the night before, and I'm at peace. And she said, and that's when you know that you're in the will of God. And that's when you know that even when you have to do the hard things, God backs you up, and he's gonna bless everybody in the path of that decision. You see, he'll back you guys. It's not gonna make sense here, and you're gonna wonder, I don't get it, this doesn't make sense, but he's telling me to go, and I don't know if this is the right move. But if he's telling you, run, do it, because everyone in the path of that decision will be blessed and better off because of it, because we got the God perspective, because we pressed in, because we're gonna succeed if we do what he says. The review is, what does prayer benefit in my life? Prayer helps me to release frustrations. It brings me clarity when I don't understand. It helps me to untangle my tangled up heart, and it helps me give a new perspective. To sum it all up, all I have to do is go talk to God. That's all. If you got something from God today, Lord, we just love you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.